Those of you that have come to church here for any length of time know I do not preach out of the book of Revelation all that much. I'm not a prophecy preacher. I enjoy prophecy, enjoy studying it, looking at it. I never have really dealt a lot with it. But the Lord laid some verses on my heart here out of Revelation chapter number 5 that I want to deal with this morning and try to be a blessing and a help to us today. Let's read the first 12 verses of Revelation chapter number 5. Then I'm going to lay a little groundwork as far as the book of Revelation goes, just paint you a little picture. And then we'll try to deal with the thought that the Lord laid on our heart. I want to make mention before we do that about our March Gladness services. I knew I was forgetting something. Our March Gladness starts this week. And that means we're not having service Wednesday night. We'll have service Thursday night. And Brother Josh Parker from down in Georgia is going to be here preaching for us. I got preachers. This is going to make everybody a little nervous. Makes me a little nervous. I got preachers this year that I've never heard of. Three preachers. Of course, Billy Mitchell's preaching at the end of the month. I've heard him a bunch. But I got three preachers coming. Never heard them. I just know them. Know they're solid men. And invite them to come. So you're going to learn about them just like I am. Amen. But Thursday night, we'll have Brother Josh Parker. Brother Calhoun the next week. Brother Keith Watkins the third Thursday. And then Brother Billy Mitchell will be the last Thursday night of the month. And so you remember that. We're not going to be here Wednesday night. We're moving to Thursday night for our March Gladness services. Okay. All right. Let's read together. Revelation chapter number 5. You found your place. Last book of the Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter number 5. The Bible said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and people, and every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Let's pray together. Father, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name this morning, God, that you'd anoint us to preach. Lord, as we deal with these verses, God, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be the voice of a man, Lord, that they would hear, God, in this place, but Lord, that it'd be the voice of God. Lord, I pray, God, that they could hear you speak today through the Word of God. I pray, Lord, for conviction power, God, upon those that are here today that are lost and that don't know you. I pray, God, that you'd save them before it's everlasting too late. I pray, God, that you'd help us to preach as a dying man, the dying men. Do that in our midst as only you can. We'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look this morning here in these verses. Now, I told you, I want to first lay a foundation, if I may, about the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is divided into three sections. And the Bible tells us this. The book of Revelation is written about things that were. That is, there is history in the book of Revelation. Then it's written about the things which are. That is, the present day can be seen in the book of Revelation. And then it's written about the things which shall be hereafter. That's what the angel told John. He said, I want you to write about the things which are, the things which were, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now the first three chapters of the book of Revelation deals with the things that were and the things that are. How we see that John writes to the seven churches of Asia Minor. They were literal churches that existed at that time. And so that is history. Those are those letters, those things that were written in the first three chapters. They are written to those things that were. Now you'll read through that and you'll find that each one of those different churches represents a church age. And of course we're living in the Laodicean or the last church age. And so that represents the things that are. And so there's things in the book of Revelation that are current, up to date. They're toward the end of chapter number 3. But at the beginning of chapter number 4, the Bible said, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the voice that I heard was as a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. Now that come up hither call is typical of the rapture of the church. John, a picture of the church, and he was showing us the church ages in the first three chapters. At the beginning of chapter number 4, he gets raptured out, and the church goes home to be with Jesus. Amen. I'll just park right there and preach a minute on the rapture. I saw somebody this week poking fun at the rapture. But can I tell you today that it's blasphemy to poke fun at the truth of the Word of God? They said on there, who in the world could believe that craziness about a rapture? And people's getting on there and they saying, well, it's because they don't study their Bible. I wrote out a reply. I didn't send it because I didn't want to cause no more trouble than I had to. But I started to put on there this. I guess we believe it because of that crazy old Apostle Paul. Amen. Because he said over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, that will the dead Christ arise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture of the church. It happens right here in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Now beyond Revelation 4, everything else that happens in Revelation chapter number 4, 5, all the way through the book of Revelation is dealing with the things which shall be hereafter. And so what we're dealing with, what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, is dealing with the things which shall be hereafter. Now let me say this to you by way of introduction, and maybe I'll get an amen or two. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the future in His hands. Amen. How we're going to see this morning that there's this seven-sealed book. The Lord is going to open it. And each seal reveals another time frame in the future. I'm going to say this to you. Somebody said, well, I wish they'd come up with time travel. There's a reason they've not come up with time travel. And that is the Lord is the only one that is able to live in all spaces of time. And time, the very timeline, is in His hand. Maybe I can say this to you. We see that John saw Him in the midst. Can I say that in heaven this morning, everything is revolving around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the midst of the throne. He's in the midst of the 24 elders. He's in the midst, my friend, of everything that's happening in heaven. And He controls the future, and no man can know it. Amen. without Jesus opening it up, no man can know the future. You think about all of the technological advances that we've had in our day. Why is it nobody has come up with time travel? You think about that. I mean, they've come up with every crazy thing on the earth. Who would have thought it? When I was a teenager, I remember growing up, had a party line at my house as a little kid. Hey, man, you'd pick up the phone, go to talk, and Bobby Lee or one of them down the road would be on the phone. Hey, man. And you'd be talking on the phone, somebody'd pick it up, and they go click, 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 and you'd hear that clicking, and you'd know somebody wanted to talk on the phone. Hey, man. And so you had to hurry your conversation. Some of these kids were looking at me going, what in the world? Party line. But now I can take my phone, hit FaceTime, and get Trey on the line, look at him look at me. That's fairy tale stuff when I was a little old kid. Now, how come is it we've been able to get all of that advancement, but nobody, as much as they've talked about it and as much as they'd love to, nobody's been able to get in a machine and travel back in time? You know why that is? Because God holds the timeline. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the timeline. And we're going to see that here in our verses this morning. Now, that brings us up to Revelation. In Revelation chapter number 4, John kind of just overlooks the throne room. He gets in heaven and he goes, wow, look at this place. He said, boy, there's streets, there's walls of jasper and streets of gold, and there's a throne and there's elders. He's just trying to get acquainted with the place. But the throne is the central subject of what he sees in heaven. Boy, he can't keep his eyes off of it. He said, my goodness, in the middle of heaven there was this throne, and he that sat on it, from whom the heaven and earth fled away. He said, boy, God, he's God's throne, and God's sitting on it. Now we come to Revelation chapter number 5. You'll see that John begins to focus in on that throne. He fell under that throne. And said that man on the throne was holding a book. God has got a book, and we see that it's in his right hand. Now the right hand is a picture or a symbol of authority. Well, who could have more authority than the God of the universe? And he's got this scroll or this, he's got this document in his right hand, and John begins to focus in on that. Now, I want us to think first of all about this mysterious scroll. This mysterious scroll. What is this book he's holding up? What is that scroll? Probably a scroll or a book, as we think about a book looking like this. In John's times, a lot of times a book would have been a scroll, a rolled up scroll. And so what is it? What is it that God's... I want you to think about how important that this book must be, that God Almighty would be holding it in his right hand while he's sitting on the throne, and it's one of the first things that John sees. It must be important. Now, we can find out about what it is. Just hang with me. And we can find out what this mysterious scroll is. There's a couple of clues. One is that how it was written. The Bible said that it was written within and on the backside. That's interesting, isn't it? John looked at this scroll and something stood out to him. He said, looks like it's got writing on the inside where you would expect to have writing. But it's also got writing on the outside, on the backside. And so he points that out in that verse. Now, how many of you agree with me right here this morning? There are no mistakes in your King James Bible. God don't put anything in the Bible just to take up space. Somebody say amen. Every word, every jot, every tittle is put in the Word of God with a purpose.